Today I want to try to help understand something. Our lesson is entitled The Law and the Gospel. The Law and the Gospel. Now, do those seem to go together? When you see that the Gospel is good news, does that go together when you say the law? Do those seem to somehow blend? This seems to be, I looked at that and it just didn't seem to match. And since I was thinking about teaching this lesson, I kept saying, Lord, what is the good news about the law? And I remember David saying, I delight in it. I meditate on it day and night. And the Lord's talking about how this law is so incredibly important, and we see so many descriptions of it. So I cheated, and I listened to two other people. They do their lesson before so they can publish it whenever the time comes up. They put it on, and so I cheated, and I listened to those two lessons, and I kept listening to words being defined and all kinds of history. And when I got through, I said, something's wrong. Where's the good news? And what is it? And I discovered that when the angels first grasped what God was going to do, it says that they broke out singing. What did they sing about? What was so incredible about all that? Because you have to remember, it was the law that was the issue. And as Ernie has shared several times, what law? What law? Adam never knew it, as it was in the presentation of the Ten Commandments. So, what law? And it dawned on me, we can never discover the good news about all of this until we keep in perspective what this is all about. And it is about the law. Well, that doesn't sound very exciting. That's almost as exciting as sitting down looking at a speed limit sign that says 55 miles an hour. Now, what kind of excitement do you get out of that law? It's just not very exciting. But when the angels heard it, they broke out singing. And then when Jesus actually came and showed up on this earth, they broke out singing. Glory to God. Over what? What were they singing about? What did they know that we don't know? Because I'll be honest with you, I don't see the evidence of a lot of people that are excited about the good news about the law. So I've been on my knees a lot saying, Lord, help me understand, what is this about? And so I had to go back and study to see, what was the beginning, what was the controversy all about. And you notice in the book Patriarchs and Prophets, the very first words in that text is, God is love. And then you turn over to the very last words in the great controversy, and it says the whole world comes to the understanding, and the very last words in that book are, they discovered God is love. Well, what happened in between? What is all of this about? There was a rebellion in heaven over what? We find out that the devil said, there is something about God that you don't understand. And when they were shocked that there was such a thing as a law, and they were wondering, well, what is this thing all about? So the devil was saying, you really don't know God. Wait until someone crosses him. All of these people that are serving God, all of these angels, every being in the universe that's serving God, are serving him and praising him. And it's because God wants all of this praise to come to him. All of this service is about him. You really don't know God. Wait until someone crosses him. And someone did cross him. The devil crossed him. And what happened? Well, God had a choice to make. If I allow to happen what naturally will happen, there will be a question in every mind in the universe that will never be settled. He crossed him. And it says that God did a strange act. God stood between what would naturally have happened to the devil and said, we've got to let this play all the way out. It's got to come to its conclusion. And by the way, I can never use force because love doesn't do that. So, if you want to know what God is like, we say, well, God is so mysterious. There are things you just don't know about. And that's exactly what the devil was saying. You really don't know that when trouble really gets to brewing, watch what he will do. He couldn't wait to see God's response when he got man to fall. It's like he was telling the whole universe, watch, watch what he does. God acted so strangely. There's some good news that I'd like to share with you. And it's not the same news this poor little girl heard. There's something about this good news we don't understand. And fell out of my chair again. When it starts to dawn on us, what is this about? Let me describe something for you. That when God created Adam, it says that he created him of the dust of the ground. So here is this being that's lying before him, dead. He's just a piece of clay. And when God shaped him, God made him after his image, after his likeness. And so we think that maybe God has arms and legs and a head and everything is like that. And we realize that the likeness that God was talking about was character. made him after his character, after his likeness. And then God breathed into him and he became a living soul after God's likeness. So this piece of clay came alive and had all the attributes of the character of God. Incredible story. And so when we look at this piece of clay, God breathed in him and he became a living soul. He had the character of God. Well, what happened when man fell? He became that piece of clay with no likeness to the character of God. Now, it wasn't that God was saying necessarily, whenever he sins, I will kill him, because the devil was saying, watch what happens. This is what I have to let you know. And this is that part of God that you don't know. Well, the Father is saying this. From my perspective, no creature in the entire universe has made himself so well known as God. There is no mystery. Now, we will plumb that character throughout eternity and never plumb the depth. So I'm not saying that we on this earth can get to know what he's like. That the character, the mind, and the heart of God is completely revealed. And if you ever see what the character of God is like, you will love him. And so, what is the task of the devil? To hide from you the character of God. In the very beginning, it was said, God is love. At the very end, everyone will come to the conclusion, God is love. So when Adam was created, God took this piece of clay and put his character in that piece of clay, and he became a living being with the likeness of the character of God. And then, when he fell, he returned to that piece of clay, but he didn't die. When he fell, the concept that the law is a promise. The law is not a standard to be met in order to please God. That the law is a promise. And as a promise, the very first time it was stated was when Adam fell. And God said, I will put enmity between you and the serpent. Adam took that as a promise. So here he stood before God, naked and a piece of clay. And then God told him of the enormity of what this sin was. And the question that Adam had was, you're going to provide a way. How are you going to do that? Well, God disappeared for a little while. And I can just imagine that it was like some kind of a hazy fog. And Adam stood there wondering, well, why didn't God answer my question? How are you going to provide this? And God disappears. And then he shows up. And it's almost like you can see him walking through that mist. And as he's walking, Adam sees him, and there's a little lamb following him. Get the point? Who could imagine the lamb could do this? When you see our condition, a piece of clay, naked, standing before God, what does he do? Creates us, recreates us in the image of the Lamb. Now, when we talk about the law, God says, I'm going to recreate in you my image. Well, what will it look like? When I get there, what will it look like? The Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments. That's what love looks like. That's why the word for redemption, the word for grace, and the word for redemption are identical. The word for righteousness is identical. That was, I stand there and recognize I am this being that is a piece of clay that stands there naked with no capability of ever meeting that. God didn't come down and say, here is the law. If you want to get to know me, you want to follow me, here's the law. You do these things, you follow me, and you'll be my child. Well, as I have shared with you before, that's not what happened. After he took them out of Egypt and brought them to the mountain and said, will you follow me? They said, yes. He said, now, I want to show you the promise of what you will become. So the law is God's character. The law is a promise that he will bring me back to God's character. God will stand before me. And remember when the Holy Spirit came after Jesus died? When the Holy Spirit came? That is that same breath that was blown into the mouth of Adam, and he became a living being. And so that same breath, that same spirit will be blown into us. And what is the product of his presence? Well, we stand by him. We see a transformation starting. We behold that love and we find that there is a change that begins happening inside of us. Now, who could have ever thought that a lamb could do that? It's amazing. And when you go through great controversy, I mean, you go through Revelation, and you see right in the middle of the book of Revelation, there's a chapter there. And the question on everybody's mind was, how did God do this? How did God bring this about? And guess what shows up? There comes a lamb that appears to have been slain from the foundation of the earth. There's that lamb again. Can you imagine what it was like for Adam? Because he said, Father, how are you going to do this? And the Father points to the lamb. Well, you know, the thing that overwhelmed Adam, that there's some connection between what he had to do with that lamb and becoming the child of God again. And that when Adam took that knife and took the life of that lamb, the question that was bothering him was, you know, why is this one having to pay for me? But the question that was in his mind that was so plaguing to him was, how could one love us so much that he would go to the very depths of hell? Folks, that wasn't just because God was trying to write his character. It wasn't that God's name became slandered and so God used us as guinea pigs to say, watch, we're not here as some trial. We're not here as guinea pigs. That God actually said, what I did through Jesus is what love does. And God has displayed his heart, God has displayed his mind throughout the Bible, and we can know what God is like by looking at that. God has displayed everything. There is nothing about the character of God that we don't have access to knowing. And it says that when the angels heard the depth to which Jesus would go, it says that every one of them came to him and pled, please, let us go. Folks, that's what love does. And Adam, when he heard as flashed before him what would happen with the flood and the death of the son, Jesus pled with the Father, let it be me. He could not grasp the depth to which God was willing to go to rescue man. And we have all kinds of stories in the scriptures. The depth to which God will go to restore man. One of Ernie's favorites is Manasseh. No human being on the face of the earth ever could match what Manasseh did. But when Manasseh came to himself, well, how did he come to himself? What do you think the Spirit was doing? Constantly, constantly pleading, come home, come home. Even to that abominable creature in the middle of a dungeon, in a place where he deserved to go, said, Father, forgive me. And God heard him and brought him home. And so we come over the New Testament, and Jesus came through to display God's character. And where do we see a human being that is as low as humans can go? Well, we see several examples. One of them, two demoniacs. Absolutely the most wretched beings, everyone terrified. And how did they get that way? The devil demonstrating his purposes were perfectly demonstrated in what was in that cave. It says they came to him, and the words that were flowing out of their mouth were curses. But God heard the heart. God heard the heart of that little girl crying in that restroom and sent an angel. No, let's see. I think it's Angela.
Not angel.
Yeah. God sent an angel to bring hope to that child's heart. Isn't that amazing? So when I grasped the depth that this human being can go to, and grasp that he never gave up, he never left me, in the depth of my deepest darkness, he appealed to me. Never gives up. So, what is the character of God like? God is love. How is it demonstrated? God says, well, I can show you all kinds of ways. Let me show you through the Ten Commandments. And when he came in the New Testament, the Jews were saying, well, which one is the greatest? He says, love. Love to the Father, love to the fellow man. It's love. And God is going to work in such a way in your heart where he is going to bring you to the conviction. God is love. That is the only thing that will bring you. That is the only thing that will keep you. That is the only thing that will supply you what you need to get through this world. And I know that there are people in this class that are suffering, and we don't know a word about it. Suffering at the deepest level. Dealing with some issues they have no idea what to do. And where is God? Well, God is love. God will not leave you. God will not forsake you. God is right beside you, encouraging you. I will strengthen you. I will help you. Yea, I will not forsake you. That is love. And when you look at that, and now you can understand the depth to which Christ wanted to go to bring us back. May I read you something? I'll try to read it. I may have to give it to you. This is what a page looks like after I get through. I scribble all over, I write in the margins, I'm just overwhelmed by it. Boy, I would invite you just to go through and read the first chapters of this and to see what God did in the plan of redemption. I've got in the margin here, hallelujah, wonderful, amen. This is the issue. I've got all those things marked in there because they just overwhelmed me when I saw what the Father did. Let me share this part with you. From the first, the great controversy had been upon the law of God. From the very first. Now, let me supply some other words. From the first, the great controversy had been upon the character of God. That was the controversy. The character of God. Is he love? Will he be there? And how far will he go? Satan had sought to prove that God was unjust and that his law was faulty. Let me replace the words. Satan had sought to prove that God was unjust and that his character was faulty, and that the good of the universe required it to be changed. In attacking the character of God, he aimed to overthrow the authority of its author. In the controversy, it was to be shown whether the divine statutes, let me replace some words, in the controversy, it was to be shown whether the character of God were defective and subject to change or perfect and immutable. God can't change. It's not a question. It's impossible. The very character of God would have to be changed. When Satan was thrust out of heaven, he determined to take the earth as his kingdom. When he tempted and overcame Adam and Eve, he thought that he had gained possession of this world because, said he, they have chosen me as their ruler. He claimed that it was impossible that forgiveness should be granted to the sinner, and therefore the fallen race were his rightful subjects, and the world was his. But there's a great big word there, three letters that I've circled. But. He said, the world is his. But. Let me read that after part. But God gave his own dear son, one equal with himself, to bear the penalty of transgression, and thus he provided a way by which they might be restored to his favor and brought back to their Eden home. Christ undertook to redeem man and to rescue the world from the grasp of Satan. Is that good news? The law and the good news. Well, the good news is it's all about the character of God. The good news is my one task is to be able to grasp what the character of God is like. And as I study, I look at this Bible, and as I read this Bible, I know that every story in there is revealing the character of God. How did the devil react? How did God react when man fell? And we see man falling over and over and over again. And how did God react? How did he respond? And we find that God will go to the very depths of hell. One of the most beautiful stories of when leaders, yes.
As you're saying that, I'm seeing that you said, how did God respond? He revealed himself more.
Yes.
So that by beholding, we would be changed. And that's a law that's in place. If you look at something long enough, you're going to be changed by it.
That's exactly right.
So if we, we look and understand, so every time the same thing that says, where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. The more we see sin, the more God is going to reveal himself and reveal himself so that by looking, we'll be changed to be just like him.
Absolutely. And an incredible picture. God is trying to let you know what the bottom line is. So he took a little child who at 12 years old was raped and molested over and over and over. She became a drug addict. She became an alcoholic in order to try to survive. And when she met Christ, she was drugged to him. And she was thrown down in his midst. And said, we have found this woman violating the law of Moses, and we caught her in the very act, so nobody can say, this is hearsay, we caught her. Who shall throw the first stone? And Jesus fell before this woman. The God of the universe, remember, fell before this woman, began writing. And the very first message he wrote in the sand was, yes, you know this woman was caught in adultery. You were the one that molested her at 12 years old. You were the one that caused her to be what she is today. And you were the one that was with her when she fell. we hear a rock hit the ground. And we hear some shuffling of some feet. And we hear another rock fall. And the God of the universe could have declared their sins in front of everyone. What did he do? Wiped them out. And then he turned to this woman and he said, "Woman, where are your accusers?" And she looked up through tear-stained eyes, and all she saw was a pile of rocks. She says, "None, Lord." Do you remember the other word? What did the God of the universe say when he found a human being in the lowest condition that he could find him? Say that again.
Neither do I
condemn him. Those are the words to you this morning. By beholding him, you become changed. What an amazing God. Now do you understand why the angels sang when they heard the story? Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And when he was born in that Bethlehem manger, can you understand why they sang, "Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill toward men"? Because God has found a way. And whoever thought that a lamb Father, thank you for the good news. Thank you that you have simplified for us. The great controversy is about your integrity, your character, what you will do. And you have repeated over and over and over, "Come unto me, all you labor and heavy laden, and you shall find rest for your soul." I found that rest, Father. When you call me from the depths, I found it. And I thank you for what you've done. And oh, what it must be when we see that you not only went to that depth, but you became one of us. And this earth will be the center of the universe because you, Emmanuel, will be with us. Thank you. And thank you that we have the good news to share. That we can point to other people to this same thing. As Angela did to that little girl that was on that restroom floor crying out of desperation. May we be sensitive to those who are hurting, and we can go to them and put our arm around them and say, "Worthy is the Lamb." In Jesus' name, amen.